Yes, indeed. I am joined this morning by Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota and the Landscape Arboretum. I thought I'd throw that in, too. Julie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Denny. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. It's kind of a fresh morning, as I've said before. We have officially 46 degrees in the Twin Cities. Say, I have to tell you, you were on that, I know it's a lower medium, but you were on television. You know, I'm just joking.
I wondered how you were going to say
that. You know, I'm just joking.
I saw
you on Channel 4.
Yeah, that was the other day. We were in the Hosta Glade with Shayla Reeves from Channel 4. Very, just a wonderful person. And, we were talking about hostas and what people could do right now. And I shared with people my favorite weeding hand tool, the Korean hand hoe.
I saw that. What was that called again?
A Korean hand hoe.
Is that easily found? I mean, can people buy that?
Yeah, you can order that. I ordered mine online. I ordered them for all my gardening friends for Christmas one year. And one of the neat things about it, it looks wicked.
Yeah.
But it also is ergonomically weighted, so you can kind of give it a little swing as you're working, so it's easier on your hand. It's a pretty impressive tool when it gets going.
Yeah. Yeah, that piqued my curiosity for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, doggone it, you look good on that TV,
thanks. And
that's why they say, Denny, you have a face for radio.
Hey, that's my friend now you're talking about.
Okay. Right. If you have any kind of lawn or garden question for Julie, by all means, call it in or text it in. It is the same number, 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. And as Julie knows, and if you're a regular listener to the show, you know we tend to get really busy. So we would rather you send your question either by phone or text early rather than later when we're usually running out of time. So do that. Now, here I'm looking at the forecast. And as I said, 46 degrees now. Let me just double check something, Julie. Tonight's low around 40. Now, is that going to be an issue for anything that's growing out there?
Well, if you've planted anything, there's not a lot to do at this point. We have to remember that as the plants have been coming up, they've been acclimating to our temperatures. So especially our early spring flowers, our trees, unless we got hit with a frost, which would be in the 30s, we're not really going to see much damage on plants. So if you're putting plants out right now, like today, you might want to think about waiting a couple days if you're moving them from indoors out, and just give them just wait a few more days until this temperatures kind of rise up a little bit more. We want to be in around the 50s in the nighttime temperatures before we move our house plants out. But if you've already planted tomatoes, there's not a lot you can do. There is a product. I have one. It's called a wall of water. It's kind of like a tiny floaty for the water that's shaped like a cone. It has channels that you fill with water, and you can put it around tender plants like tomatoes and peppers if they're not too large. And that water holds heat, and that water will transfer that heat and keep that plant a little bit warmer on these chillier nights. So that's called the wall of water. So that's one idea. You can do that. You can also put a floating row cover over your plants as well. So that's another option, too. That will keep any extra chilly temperatures. It'll kind of insulate the plants a little bit.
But I would think, especially with you and your colleagues telling us about, what do we call our grasses, our cold, cool weather?
Cool season grasses.
Cool season grasses. Our lawns must love this cool temperature.
Yeah, this is great for lawns. And if you've planted seeds, you know, some of the cool crop seeds, you know, the cabbages, broccoli, things like that. Those are doing great too. So this will all get by. You know, we're Minnesota gardeners. We're tough.
Absolutely.
We're used to these fluctuations. So
well,
I feel sorry for people up north because you guys have had a chance of snow and frost and oh my word. So
absolutely.
I feel very sorry for my northern gardening friends.
For sure. I'll tell you what, let's talk to some of our gardeners via phone this
Sounds
time.
Good.
I think Rick is on the phone calling in from Buffalo this morning, first up here. Rick, thank you. What's your question for Julie?
The question I have is, excuse me, I was trying to find out if there's any either annuals or perennials that flower throughout the summer where you don't have to deadhead all the time. Some low maintenance type flowers that give some color to the landscape.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. We have most annuals require deadheading on a fairly regular basis, just because they finish their life cycle within the growing season. So they're planted in the spring and they die by fall, and so they're quickly blooming and setting seed. And so deadheading helps to, of course, they look better, but then also to would help to propagate the plant further if you're collecting seed. So thinking about annuals, I would actually challenge the listeners. Maybe some listeners have a good option. Seed. So thinking about annuals, I would actually challenge the listeners. Maybe some listeners have a good option. There are some that just, you know, keep reblooming. One that comes to mind for me is calendula or pot marigold. That is a tremendous annual. It's a great pollinator plant. It's an edible flower. It's bright orange, bright gold. You can deadhead it, but you don't have to. The seed pods will form, but it will keep blooming. And it blooms into the cooler weather of fall, which is important for us from a landscape standpoint to have that color, but also for late season pollinators. So there's one idea, but I wonder if any of the listeners have some suggestions too.
I just see a text says, impatience do not require deadheading.
Okay, so there's one, and those are for shade, so that's okay. Helpful. There's not a lot of annuals for shade, but that's one for shade. Great.
All right. Well, we'll see as we go through the morning what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what we can find out for you.
Let's grab a call. I know we have to break here momentarily, but Bob is calling in from Minnetonka this morning, I believe. Let's hear what Bob has to say. Bob, what's your question, please?
I have actually two of them, but one is one that I had called a couple of years ago. We have magnolia bushes, and we get bees around it, and I remember it was you or somebody on it said there's a spray you can use to get rid of that, you know, so the bees don't get that sap and everything. Can you tell me what that is?
Boy, I don't know that,
I don't remember
Bob.
That.
I apologize. I don't know what that spray is. Yeah, that would be a question maybe at a garden center. We have a lot of good garden centers with a lot of great professionals there. You could also put that question on Ask Extension. And maybe there's a master gardener who knows, one of our volunteers. I don't know what that is. I thought you would ask about magnolia scale.
Maybe that's, I don't know what it is. It's a sap or something that the bees get attracted to, and they're all around it. And I don't remember. It started with a T, I think, or something, some chemical.
Oh, I don't know. That's a great question. I'm going to put that on my list. Look, try to find that one.
And somebody now.
What was your second question?
Yeah.
What can you use to get rid of the rabbits? My God, we're getting hundreds of them now.
So with rabbits, certainly one of the things is fencing. That's great. And that's particularly useful, like under your deck. If you have a deck area and there's a little crawl space for rabbits, they like to kind of hang out under there. Certainly around tender plants. I have found blood meal works as a repellent as well as a fertilizer. It's a nitrogen fertilizer for plants. So putting that, sprinkling that around the plants that they're after will not only add nutrients but also acts as a repellent. It works for deer too. We tried it on an annual flower trial, and it was in an area that was we were in an open field, but we were surrounded by woodlands and a river, and we found it worked really, really well. So that would be something you could sprinkle around. It's organic. You can order it online, and you can also find it at your garden center.
All right. Julie, we need to take a quick break here, and we have a lot of texters and callers coming in. on our Smart Garden Show. Here is our phone number again. It's also our text number, 651-461-9226. On News Talk 830 WCCO, it's 46 degrees now. And as Julie says, we have a lot of good garden centers around these parts, one of which has been around since 1958, and that's Malmberg's Garden Center. You've heard of it. You've been there too many a times. Two locations, as a matter of fact, and we thank them for joining this show. Blaine and Rogers, that's where you can find Malmberg's Garden Center. Thousands of plants, locally grown right there in their greenhouses. If you're in the market for trees, maybe some shrubs, whether it be annuals or perennials. And I'll tell you another thing, gardening supplies is what you'll find there as well at Malmberg's Garden Center. And if you want some other questions answered, expert advice in gardening. In fact, those folks at Malmberg's Garden Center are great at helping new gardeners get started. How do you find them? Well, I'll tell you what, let me give you a website, malmbergsinc.com, malmbergsinc.com, malmbergsinc.com. But check them out. As I said, Malmberg's Garden Center have been around these parts since 1958. You're going to love spending some time either at the Blaine or Rogers locations. Malmberg's Garden Center. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Julie Weisenhardt from the U of M is answering your lawn and garden questions. And Julie, of which there are many, phone callers and texters as well, getting a lot of input. Now, we've got a bunch of text messages that folks want you to repeat that name of that tool, that hand tool again.
And Korean hand hoe.
Korean hand hoe, and you can find it online for sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's in any of the garden centers. I purchased mine online from a company called Kinsman Company.
Okay.
K-I-N-S-M-A-N. I purchased it a long time ago, but I'm sure that you can find it still online. It's a
we'll mention that before you leave us today, because we'll get we'll get more questions. I tell you what, I want to grab just this text that came in earlier this morning. Can jade plants be put outside? Thank you.
They can. Just be sure that they are draining well, because you don't want to have a succulent like that that has a, you know, no hole in the bottom. You want to ensure that when it rains that the water is leaving, excess water is leaving the pot. And then also, as you move these plants outside, put them in the shade first in kind of a protected area, so that they're not getting whipped around by the wind, or don't put them directly into the sunlight. They could potentially get sunburn. So they just need to acclimate. Just put them in the shade, a protected spot. You know, after a few days, move them in a little bit more sun, maybe some dappled shade and a little bit more sun, and just kind of work them in. It's kind of like, think about getting into a cold lake the first part, you know, for your first swim of the season. Kind of put your foot in, then you put your knees in, then you go up to your mid-thigh, and then finally you take the plunge. So that's kind of what our plants need.
You do that. I'm not
going to
be
doing analogy?
That. It works. Let's grab a phone call from, let's see, Karen is calling in this morning from Edina, I do believe. Karen, thank you. What's your question for Julie?
Hi, thank you very much. I'm a member of the Arboretum, and we've got tickets to go out tomorrow. Woo-hoo. And of course, it's not the weather that we expected. But I just want to know, have we already missed the tulips, or what's going on out there?
So, Karen, man, I'll pay you later, but there is a great webpage that you can go to called Garden Highlights on the Landscape Arboretum website. So thank you for prompting me to be able to talk about this. It right now it shows featured plants from May 10th through May 16th. So the tulips, let's see. I was out yesterday because I work out there. The tulips were still in bloom. You know, some of them bloom at a little bit different times. So while maybe some have gotten a little ragged from the weather, but boy, there are still plenty of tulip action going on at the Arboretum. You will not be disappointed. But I would also encourage you to look at the crabapple collection, that is in full glory right now. And the lilac collection, you know, as you come into the Arboretum through the gate, on your right-hand side as you head toward the Oswald Visitor Center is the lilac collection. And there's lilacs sprinkled throughout the Arboretum, but boy, that walk into that lilac collection and just take a big, deep smell, because it is glorious. It's fantastic. There's also a lot of wildflowers that are blooming in the wildflower garden. So we've got trillium and mayflower and summer snowflake and all sorts of different wildflowers blooming. Virginia bluebells. Lady slippers, I don't think they are blooming quite yet, but they will be blooming probably in a week or so. So tons of other great plants to see, too. So I think you will be very pleased with your visit.
Very good. I am in need, the texter says, of a cell phone app to help identify my existing plants. Now, we could, this listener can check out the university's website, right?
Yeah, they could certainly go to our website. We have a plant database that's called Plant Elements of Design. It's in our landscape design section of the Yard and Garden page on Extension. So that's extension.umn.edu. You can go to the Yard and Garden section. It's in landscaping, and it will, it's not an identifier, I'll say that, but you can look at pictures of upwards to 2,800 different plants that are pretty common in Minnesota landscapes. I am not, we had a discussion about apps at work yesterday, and I am not a super fan of the apps. I think they're a little bit helpful, but they are, they're not always specific enough. And that's the problem, is sometimes you get an app that the pictures don't quite match. So you really have to be careful while you're using them. There is one that I did load called Blossom, and I'm not sure exactly where the resource comes from. I'm still trying to figure that out. I have a feeling there's a collaboration with one of the other universities in the United States, but I'm not really sure. But it seems to be pretty good. It is a for-fee app, and but that's, there's other ones called like Plant Snap and Leaf. I don't really use them very much, and most of us in the discussion were kind of like, it's kind of, you know, touch and go whether you get really the good information. If people have a great app and they want to put it out on a text for us today, that would be great, wonderful, okay. Along with those annuals.
Yes, we have a few of those, too.
Good.
Well, we'll do that after the break, Julie. Okay. We'll take a break and have a look at that forecast, see if we're going to get a warm-up or not. Callers on the line, stay there, and texters will pick up on your questions as well here on a Saturday morning on News Talk 830 WCCO. Please. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Julie Wisenhorn from the University of Minnesota, answering your lawn and garden questions this morning. And Julie, we have, again, callers and texters. I always like to bring up, like a caller did earlier, the Arboretum. For those maybe just joining us and have maybe never been to the Arboretum, are they in for a treat?
Yeah.
What a treat.
Yep, it's beautiful right now. There's so many things blooming. They have the Garden Highlights webpage. If you go to arb.umn.edu and you can find the garden highlights. There's also a lot of classes going on. Always classes, always education. Beautiful time to visit. Just a refreshing time, fabulous to the soul, really lovely. It's busy. You do need reservations. If you're a member, it doesn't cost anything for reservation. But if you're not a member, I tell you what, two visits and you'll want to be a member. So
yeah, absolutely.
So it's fabulous. Yeah. Great cafe. We have a new chef that's really worked up some delicious new menu items. And the gift shop is an amazing place to shop.
Spent a lot of time there for sure. All right. let's get back to the phones and text messages, Julie. I think Pat in Carver maybe still hanging on the horn there. Pat, thank you for waiting. What's your question for Julie?
Hey, good morning. Great show. Best show on the air.
Oh,
hey, I have
you.
A rhubarb question.
Excellent.
I have a rhubarb question. So I put in some new rhubarb bare root last year. It came up, and then this year it's like a foot tall. I know I can't pull any for a few years, but it's starting to have that thing where it goes to seed. Do I let that go, or do I pluck it off?
You can just cut that off. It's bolting. The variety is one that probably flowers sooner than others. And so, yeah, just cut it off as far down as you can go.
Okay. Let's grab another call while we're on the phone here. Ellen's calling in this morning from Outing, Minnesota, I do believe. Ellen, thank you for waiting. What is your question?
First, I want to say thanks for the show. I've learned a lot and enjoyed it over many years.
Thank you.
A few years back, I moved to northern Minnesota, and the owner had a very nice small garden plot. And she and the neighbor always planted tomatoes year after year after year. Well, when I came in, I've kind of been moving into other vegetables also. But we had blight come through this area last two years, like nobody's business. So I did some research. I've ordered some grow bags, and I'm wondering if I'm going the right direction to take grow bags. I have to keep them in that same area and just set them on top of the soil, and then I use drip hoses that are on a timer. If I could put that bag in a tray that maybe had some gravel in it, just set it in there and then run the drip hose over it and onto the rest of my garden, am I on the right path?
I think, you're definitely on the right path as far as alleviating the potential for late and early blight on tomatoes. So tomato diseases, septoria leaf spot, late and early blight, those are the big three that we see in Minnesota. And any plant that's in plants that are in the same family, so in the tomatoes, it's tomatoes, potatoes, peppers, tomatillos, eggplant, they're all in the Solanaceae family or the nightshade family. All of those plants are susceptible to similar diseases. And so you want to rotate those plants. You want to move them around your garden. It's really hard when you have a raised bed. And so if you plant the same family of plants over and over in the same bed, and you see that disease every year, it's because you're essentially, think of it as you're feeding the pathogens that lie in the soil. Those they're being retained, they're being kept in that soil. So you want to rotate your crops. You want to put other plants in those raised beds. So using the garden bag or the plant bag or whatever you want to call it is a great way to put in clean, fresh soil, unused soil, and to isolate the plants in those garden bags. And so that way you can plant your tomato in the garden bags. You can then you can dump that soil, in a compost pile, and you can start with fresh soil next year. I would even recommend you wash those garden bags in a big bucket with when you're done with them with bleach and water, so that you really make sure you get any pathogens, you kill anything that's in that bag. Then you can use it again next year for your tomatoes again, because now you have a clean container, you're going to put in clean soil, clean plants. As far as putting them in a tray and watering them, I don't really know if you have to. Those bags are designed to be set on the ground, on a deck, on a patio, and just grown that way. So you can kind of, I think as far as the irrigation goes, you can do whatever you want.
Okay. A lot of samples of plants you don't have to deadhead.
Oh,
we're getting
excellent.
In occasionally. I'll just throw in a few from time to time. We may have repeated one of impatience, marigolds, salvia, proven winners, million bells, no deadheading. Mm-hmm. Kind of petunia that I can't recall the name. Texture says doesn't need deadheading.
That's Calibrachoa. That's the million bells.
Yeah, and there's another Calibrachoa comment. Mm-hmm. Wave petunias. Here's a text I wanted to grab before we get too far adrift here. They have very dense clay soil. What's the best way to make the soil more workable? I have been, Texter says, amending with compost and peat moss, but someone told me clay already has enough organic matter that I should be adding sand.
Ooh, don't add sand.
Don't add
sand. Adding sand to a heavy clay will make cement. So you don't want to do that.
Yes.
But you're doing exactly the right thing. I think you just have such heavy soil, you have to just keep adding it. I would recommend also that that you allow your, you know, if this is a garden bed, which sounds like it is, to use leaves as leaf mulch, and that leaf mulch will break down, and that will also add organic matter, it'll add carbon to that heavy clay soil. But yeah, working in organic matter will help to add lightness to your clay soil and also open it up so that there's better drainage.
Okay. Another phone call in. Karen is calling in this morning from Osceola, I do believe. Karen, thank you. What is your question for Julie?
Hi, thanks. I enjoy your show so much.
Thank you.
I have a question about rhubarb. Now, this plant was purchased in spring of 2020. It did not get planted until late July of 2020. Would I be able to use some of that this year, or do I need to wait longer?
I think you could use a little bit of it. And the reason that we stop using it, or that we don't use it for a couple years, is that we allow the plant to develop and get established in the location. All of the leaves, you know, we pick off the leaves, basically. Those leaves are the photosynthesizing part of the plant. So they are pulling in sunshine and light and, you know, water, and they're creating energy and putting that into the root. And the roots of rhubarb are extremely long. Very, very long, very dense, thick roots. And that's what you want. So we hold off picking rhubarb early in its life when we've just planted it to give it a chance to get established and to get enough energy down into those to develop those big root systems. So you could pick a few stems. Like if you're going to just make maybe a batch of rhubarb muffins, you could probably pick enough for that. I think you need like a cup of chopped rhubarb for that. But I would hold off. I would just kind of keep as much of the leaf tissue as you can. You know, just maybe there's a friend who has rhubarb that you could get rhubarb from them this year. The longer you wait, the stronger the plant is going to be.
Okay. How can I, Texter says, efficiently repair the grass beside my walk? Seems like snow melt took it out.
Well, repairing grass, regardless of the reason, whether it's snow melt or dog spot or drought like we had last year, is kind of the same. You want to rake out the dead tissue for the most part. You don't have to completely clean it off, but rake out a lot of the excess, and then choose a seed, a type of seed mix that's appropriate for your site. So if it's part shade, if it's sun, if it's shady, you want to choose the right kind of seed. I would buy new seed. Unless you know for a fact that your seed is really fresh. Sometimes we store our seeds kind of, you know, not in the best conditions. And so it's great to start with fresh seed every year. And then you can mix that seed. You can rough up the soil and put the seed down. I like to add a little bit of topsoil with my seed. That was a trick that my husband Carl taught me. And you want to lay that down and then keep it watered. You want a good seed to soil contact. That's the key to good germination. And then also keeping it moist so that that seed doesn't dry out.
All right. Very good. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We have a bunch more text messages.
Doesn't dry out.
All right. Very good. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We have a bunch more text messages we'd like to impart on here. So hang on, Julie. Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M answering your lawn and garden questions here on our Smart Garden Show. Right now in the Twin Cities, we currently have 46 degrees. Yeah, that's cool. High today near 56, but we're going to drop to 40 overnight. How about your Sunday tomorrow? Near 60 for a high with mostly sunny skies. Again, now in CCO, 46. Speaking of Smart Garden and smart gardeners, we have many on this show for sure. A lot of our great listeners who make many trips to Malmberg's Garden Center. Malmberg's CCO Land Company, you've heard that name for a long time. I can tell you since 1958, Malmberg's been around two locations, in Blaine and in Rogers. And what are you going to find there? Thousands of plants. And all locally grown, too, right there in their greenhouses, whether you're in the market for trees or shrubs, annuals or perennials, certainly. And I mentioned it earlier, too, gardening supplies. Many gardening supplies you're going to find there, too. And if you just want some questions answered, expert advice as far as gardening is concerned. And if you're a new gardener, you're going to get some great advice. They love to help new gardeners get started. As I said, Malmberg's Garden Center has been around since 1958 here in these parts. If you want to check them out online, if you've never been there, you can check out directions and just find out more about them. Get on the web at malmbergsinc.com, I-N-C, malmbergsinc.com, but pay them a visit. Malmberg's Garden Center, two locations in Blaine and Rogers. Good morning. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show here on CCO. Denny Long, along with Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M, helping you out. And Julie, I think it might be a good idea if we do what we call a lightning round, because we have so many text messages. My goodness, I don't think I've seen so many. Let's do that. Here's one.
Rip.
We have some golden mushroom type fungus growing on the south side of our huge red pine. Should we be worried?
Usually fungus indicates some kind of a rot going on. So look around the tree, look for opportunities to prune out any dead branches. If you want to identify it, you can contact the Minnesota Mycological Society.
Okay. This texter says, we have a south-facing garden area used for growing pumpkins and gourds. It's become seriously infected with large thistles. We tried digging, pulling, rounding up with no success. Would black garden cloth kill the roots, which are about 12 inches deep?
Yeah, thistle roots are usually 12 to 24 inches deep. I think you just have to keep doing what you're doing. The garden cloth is not going to help very much.
Okay. This listener dug up a 3-foot redbud tree, last Monday, planted it in my garden as soon as I got home. Have been watering it every day. It's looking wilty. What to do? Is wilting normal, or have I adopted the poor little tree and moved it too far from home?
It is going through transplant stress, so keep watering it. Visit our Water Wisely webpage for watering newly planted trees.
Weed or seed the lawn at this time in Minnesota?
Yes. As long as don't put down pre-emergent, though, if you're seeding. That's pre-emergent will prevent the seeds from germinating. But yes, you can be seeding now.
Okay. What is the easiest way to start milkweed?
Milkweed. Boy, there's a lot of good instructions on the web for starting milkweed seeds. And I would say take a look at those. I'm not sure if it needs a cold period, meaning that you would have seeded it in the fall and let it go through the winter. But take a look at that. There's great stuff on Xerxes Society, a lot of the pollinator websites.
Julie, this listener put a weed and feed product down about a month ago, and they want to know, can I put grass seed down now?
You'll have to look at your product. If your product is a pre-emergent in it, you cannot seed at this point. You're going to have to wait and seed in the fall, which is actually the better time to seed.
My 17-year-old apple tree produced normally last year, but now is totally dead. Where do I begin to try and figure out why?
Oh, boy. It's probably suffered from the drought stress. If it's completely dead, I would say I'd cut your losses and take it out and put in a new tree at this point.
Okay.
There's not much to do if it's completely dead. You can try to find out. You could send a sample to our plant disease clinic if you wanted to, but at this point it's not live tissue, so they're not going to be able to tell you anything.
Sure. This listener received a hyacinth as a gift for Easter. It is now dying back. I have heard I can plant it outside. Is that true?
That is a forced bulb. So forced bulbs use a lot of their bulb energy to bloom, and they're kind of forced into blooming. So we don't usually recommend spending a lot of time on forced bulbs, though some people do plant them, and they after a few years, the plant might bloom. So you can try it if you want. I would usually just in the fall buy some fresh bulbs and plant some hyacinth outside.
My trillions, is that what it says?
Trilliums.
Okay. Are the spell check. Are well established and blooming now. Can I divide them and when?
Boy, I would not divide them now. I think you want to divide those before they come up in the spring. So you might want to wait till next spring. And when you start to see the plants coming up, then I think you divide them at that point.
Boston ivy question. It's 50 years old.
Wow.
My wall gets very bushy in the year. Should I cut it down in the fall, or what's the way to keep it going?
Sounds like it's going just fine.
Yeah.
I think just pruning it. If you like it on the wall, Boston ivy has these little kind of suction cups. And if you pull it off the wall, which you might have already found, you'll leave these suction cups behind. A lot of people don't like that. So most people just kind of shear it. Just take a shear, you know, a hedge trimmer kind of thing, and just prune off parts away from windows and doors, etc.
This is kind of a long one here. There's no way we can get this done. As far as growing tomatoes, is there, if you get on the university website, is there information about
yeah.
growing tomatoes?
Oh my gosh, it's such a popular subject. So under our vegetable section, we have vegetables A to Z on extension.umn.edu. Go to Yard and Garden and Vegetables. Go to Vegetables A to Z, and there's a tomatoes page right there. It'll give you everything you need to know.
And I know we just have about a minute or two to go. What about, we didn't mention getting soil samples done. You can do that too, right?
Right. Yes, you can still submit soil samples. You can submit them any time of the year. And it is about a two-week wait for results. And they email the results back to you along with explanations of how to understand the results.
So, again, get on the U of M website, extension.umn.edu. Get to the Arboretum.
Yes,
tell us
yes.
again, how do we get to the Arboretum? How do we...
You want to get a reservation at
yeah.
arb.umn.edu, and then come on in. Great time to come. Beautiful stuff. We're out on Highway 5, just west of County Road 41.
Excellent. And let's see. I had one more. Oh, yes. We can, more questions about that hand tool.
Korean hand hoe. Yeah, Korean hand hoe, it's called.
Korean hand
hoe. You can
hoe.
Find it online. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they're at the garden center. I've never seen them at a garden center, but I haven't really looked. So.
You know, if you were at the State Fair right now behind that counter with your little microphone headpiece, you could probably sell a ton of them.
Hey, I can picture second sideline job.
Absolutely.
It's a great
tool.
It's a great tool.
Julie, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
for the help. And we'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
All right. That's Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M. Now, get those home improvement questions ready. That's coming along next hour. Andy Lindis will be answering those questions on the Lindis Hour here. 46 degrees in the Twin Cities on News Talk 830. This is WCCO.